Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 4. In verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Can you imagine a life like this? Be anxious for nothing? How many believers can say that they live a life where they are anxious for nothing? But yet, this is what we are told by the Apostle Paul, be anxious for nothing. This is the Word of God, and he's saying, be anxious for nothing. Why are we anxious? Because frankly, too often, we don't know how to be not anxious. Circumstances, people, whatever, make us anxious. But it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Why are people anxious? Because they have no peace. Simple as that. Why don't they have peace? Well, in this particular situation, because they're not letting their requests be known to God. Why are they not letting their requests be known to God? Because they think that somehow they can deal with life on their own, apart from God. They think that somehow they can make a decision on their own, apart from God. Perhaps they think that somehow they can function in anything apart from God. So it says, be anxious for nothing, in everything. You could paraphrase, function in who you are in Christ. Now, when you let your requests be known to God, in John 15:7, it is because you are abiding in His love and His Word is abiding in you. So, when it says, let your requests be known to God, you're abiding in His love and His love is abiding in you. That's how it works. If I have the love of God in my frame of reference and the Word of God in my frame of reference, then I will ask what I will and it'll be given me. This is a source of phenomenal peace. Why are people anxious? They have no peace. Why don't they have peace? Because they're trying to live life apart from God. They don't realize it, but they are. Now, Galatians 2:20 says that I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So, if I'm trying to live outside of God, I will have no peace. How do I have peace? I live the life of God. In Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink. The kingdom of God is not in the external. The kingdom of God is not in the temporal. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the temporal. I'm saying that's not the kingdom of God. In Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God, and all of the other things, including the temporal, are added unto you. But the kingdom of God is not in the temporal. But the kingdom of God is in righteousness, which comes by faith in Romans 3:22, peace and joy. So what happens when I'm functioning in the kingdom of God? I'm functioning in peace because I'm functioning in faith, and the result is that my capacity for joy is open. Peace opens your capacity for joy. Notice that people who lack joy in their life often have no peace. Why? Because peace opens your capacity for joy. It is impossible to have joy if you have no peace. Why don't they have peace? Because they're not living actively the life of God, which would come through faith responses. God desires for us to have this peace. We were not created for anxiety. We were not created for frustration. We were not created for insecurity. We were created to have peace. that peace has a specific way of coming. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you," Jesus said. "Not as the world gives, give I unto you." And then he says something interesting. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid." He says, "I give you my peace, but I'm not going to give it to you the way that the world gives it to you." How does the world give peace? The world gives peace through temporal security. People think if you have a lot of money, you'll have peace. People who do have a lot of money often find they don't have peace. But that's the way that people think. If I get what I want, I'll have peace. If I get the person, the guy or the girl that I want, I'll have peace. If I get the job that I want, I'll have peace. If I get the whatever it is that I want, I'll have peace. That's not how it works. He says, "I don't try to give you peace the way that the world tries to give you peace." Why? The world can't give you peace. You may think it can, but it can't. The world never satisfies. The person who loves money is not satisfied by money. The person who has lust patterns is never satisfied by the fulfillment of the lust patterns. No matter what it is, if you're looking for it to satisfy you apart from God, it will never satisfy you, though you may pursue your life getting it, though you may even acquire a lot of it, it will never satisfy you. So he doesn't give us peace the way that the world gives us peace. In 1 John 2:15, he says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world." Why? They can't produce peace. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If the love of the Father is not in him, he's not satisfying the John 15:7 requirement. Not only will he not have peace, he will also not have answer to prayer. Never try to find your peace the way that the world tries to find theirs. There is a way to find peace. And a Christian is meant for that. But you cannot do it the way that the world tries it. It will never work. It doesn't work for the world. It'll work even less for the Christian who has no part of the world. In Colossians 1:20, "Having made peace through the blood of his cross," having made peace through the blood of his cross, "by him to reconcile all things unto himself." Therein is peace. Peace comes through the blood of his cross. Why are people insecure? Because ultimately a lack of peace is that, insecurity. No matter what the cause is, the bottom line is there is insecurity. Why are people insecure? Because they don't believe that God will come through. Why are people anxious? Because they don't believe that God will come through. Why do people lust? Because they don't believe that God will come through. Why do people enter into confusion? Because they don't believe that God will come through. When Saul, for example, offered the offering when he was in Gilgal, facing the Philistines, he offered it because he didn't believe God would come through. He was not to offer it. That was for Samuel. But Saul did not believe that God would come through and felt like he had to do something in order to get God to come through. He had no peace. He was very insecure in that circumstance. God comes through because of the blood of his cross. What does the blood of his cross do? It cleanses me from all unrighteousness, from all sin, in Revelation 1:5. But it's not just a question of outward sin. It's not just a question of violation of commandments. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, in Romans 14:23. That's what the blood of Christ cleanses me from. So what does the blood of the cross do? The blood of the cross cleanses me from all those times where I doubt, where I question, where I step outside the will of God, where I step outside the mind of God. The blood of the cross cleanses me from every situation where I've lived in my emotions. Every time when I was insecure, the blood of Christ cleanses me from these things. Why? Because it's the blood of the cross. That's why. Let me explain that. Christ bore our sins on His body. How is that? Because in Ephesians 2:15 and 16, at the cross, we became His body. That's where we became the one new man with Him. We were on the cross with the Savior. So, I became one person with Christ as His body on the cross. My sins were on Him because they were my sins and I'm His body. The blood flowed when He was on the cross and cleansed me and Him from my sins. Then I was buried with Him. Then I rose again with Him as His body. In Romans 5:8, we were made into one person in the original language with the love of God. Is this your identity? Do you have the peace of the cross? Because this is the peace that God wants us to enter into, is the peace of the cross. Apart from the peace of the cross, there is no peace. Apart from me having an identity as the one new man with my Savior, there's no way for me to have peace. Because apart from that, it's always up to me. Apart from that, it's always my will, not God's will, be done. Yet Jesus says, your will, not my will, be done, as He's going to the cross. Now, He didn't say that about the cross like some people think, where He says, let this cup pass from me. They think He's trying to get away from the cross. No, He set His face like a flint to the cross. That was His purpose. He was being attacked severely by all the demonic forces in the Garden of Gethsemane, and that's what He was praying for deliverance from. He was attacked so severely by the atmospheric forces that He actually perspired blood, and scientists tell us it's very difficult to survive a condition where you perspire blood. And so He was asking for deliverance from that condition. He received the deliverance He asked for. Had He shed His blood in Gethsemane and not on the cross, there would have been no salvation for mankind. And so, we recognize who we are. And this is one of the biggest problems Christians have. They don't know who they are, and if they have been taught who they are, they don't accept it or they don't believe it. They will say they believe it because they give it intellectual consent, but in the practicality of their life, they don't believe it and it's revealed in the fruit of their life. If I know who I am, I will have complete peace. Why? Because what peace does God lack? In Galatians 2:20, I'm living the life of God. What peace does the life of God lack? What does the life of God lack in anything? He says, if I should choose to, I could turn stones into bread. What peace do I lack for lack of provision? Because God said we would do greater things than these. What peace do we lack? It's simply a question of believing Him. It's not a quantity of faith. It's just believing Him. What did He say? Do you believe it? Oh, sure, I believe it. Then why don't you apply it? If you believe it. But James 2:20 says that faith without works, which is basically another way of saying faith without application, is dead. If you say you have faith, but you refuse to apply that which is a faith that you say you believe, then what good is what you say you believe? If you believe you are one person with Christ, apply it. If you believe that you're living the life of God, apply it. If you don't believe those things, get out of unbelief. Get right with God. You're in sin at the moment. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. God didn't say those things as a nice philosophy. God said those things because they are reality. Apply it. God said you are put together into one with the love of God because that is reality. Apply it. Think with it. Utilize it in your thinking toward yourself and toward your circumstances and toward people in your life. Apply it. One of the biggest problems that church-going Christians have when they receive the Word of God from a pastor who is a skilled communicator of the Word of God is they won't apply it. They'll take it as though it's intellectual information, the same way they would read an owner's manual for a washing machine. But they won't apply it. At least an owner's manual, you learn how to turn it on and off. But they don't apply it. A challenge comes and they respond to the challenge. Trials come and they respond to the trial. Illness comes and they respond to the illness. They're not applying the Word of God. They're not applying the promises of God. Start to apply the promises of God. Start to apply the Word of God. Start to apply what God says about who you are. You don't have peace because you're not applying the peace of the cross. You're not applying who you actually are. The cross is not your death. You are dead in trespasses and sins. No. The cross is your life. That's where you get out of death. Is at the cross. Apart from the cross, enjoy your death. But you start to apply the Word of God. And the Word of God changes the way you think. Here's another reason that's very common why Christians have problems. They don't think with the Word of God. They are very casual in their approach to the Word of God as though it was just another book. What other book can say it became alive? Show me one. The Word of God is the Word of God. In John 1, that Word of God became flesh. In John 17:17, that Word of God is truth. What other book became alive? This is tremendous power that's in the Word of God. People think like they have to go through life on their own, like they have to handle things on their own. And they feel like if they don't do it, nobody will. They have no idea what it is to have a life with God. They have no idea what it is to see the supernatural in the practical details of their life. Why? Because they don't apply it. And because they don't believe, they don't apply it, They don't experience it. If I have $1,000 in my pocket, but I don't believe that it's there, then I might starve to death. But that doesn't mean it wasn't there. That just means I didn't use it. Often people don't have any peace because they won't use it. You receive the Word of God, and you do it every day. And if you're receiving the Word of God, and you're finding that you still don't have peace, that you still have anxiety, that you still have emotional issues, that you still have whatever the condition is that is not of God, then you're not receiving enough. There are people who say, well, then I'd have to listen to it several hours a day. Then listen to it several hours a day. But I have things to do. Then you've got the wrong priorities. Jesus esteemed His Word above His very name. He thought it was more necessary than His daily food. And that's really talking about anything that you feel is necessary. You get the Word of God and you get it in abundance. Well, how am I going to pay the bills? You know, it's amazing when God says, my God will supply all my needs, that He actually meant it. He didn't say it as a platitude. He didn't say it as a nice idea. He didn't say it as some joke. It amazes me. Back in 1999, I went out with my back. And my wife got ill at the same time. And for a year, we had no income. We had a mortgage. And we had to pay for our own medical insurance. So it's like we had two mortgages and no income. And yet, we never missed anything. There was never a time when we couldn't pay our bills. There was never a time when we couldn't buy food. There was never a time when we went without for anything. We even had a car. We never missed anything. We had two cars, come to think of it. We never missed anything. Why? Because God wasn't kidding when He said He would supply all our needs. God wasn't joking when He said, I will withhold no good thing from you. He meant it. Sometimes people act like God is an idea, like a fairy tale, but that He isn't real. No, He's real. And what He says He means, and what He means He says, and He does what He says. He said that He made peace through the blood of the cross. Why don't people have peace? Because they don't come to the cross. You come to the cross by letting it be produced in you by the Word of God, but first you have to deny yourself in order to take up the cross. In other words, if I'm self-oriented and I'm receiving the Word of God is never going to produce the life of God in me because I'm living in self-orientation, which is blocking the life of God from being produced. At that point, the Word of God becomes nothing more than another tool in my mental tool chest. But if I have the Word of God transforming my mind, which is designed to do, and my mind, by the way, is designed for the Word of God, that's why people who don't have the Word of God in their thinking end up with all kinds of mental issues, whether it's emotional problems, whether it's anxieties, whether it's frustrations, whether it's insecurities, they end up with all kinds of issues. Why? You can't have a healthy mind if you don't put healthy things into it. It's designed for the Word of God. Think with it. But they try to think with their natural thoughts, with their natural preferences, with what they think they want. They have no idea what they want. But they think they do. How many times does God say to people, you have no idea what you're asking for? They'll ask Him something. He says, you don't know what you are asking for. They ask Him for patience. Anybody who's had that one, they can tell you, you don't know what you're asking for. God will produce His character in you. You are the one new man with Christ. This is who you are. This is reality. I don't care who you think you are. You are the one new man with Christ. The question is, do you believe or do you not believe? You are the one new man with Christ. You have been made into one entity with the love of God. It's not a question of if it is that, it's a question of do you believe or do you not believe. But this is reality. At 2 Corinthians 5:18, you have been reconciled to Him. This is reality. You may think you're separate from Him, but you're not. This is reality. In 1 John 4:8, He is love. You have been therefore reconciled to the love of God. This is reality. In Galatians 2:20, you have been crucified with Him. This is reality. Do you believe it? Well, I don't feel it. And this is where a lot of people lose this. I don't feel it. What amazes me is how much people go by their feelings. And if they don't express their feelings, they think they're being insincere or somehow pretentious. Since when did your feelings define anything at all? They don't define whether you're sincere or insincere. They don't define truth. They don't define reality. Sometimes people get annoyed with somebody, but they're nice to them anyway. And they say, well, I'm being pretentious with them. Why? And the answer ultimately is because I have regard for them. So are you actually being pretentious, or are you living in the regard that is correct for someone? Your feelings define nothing. Your emotions are there only to respond. And if they're responding in negativity, then they're responding to the wrong things. You don't have peace because you don't know who you are. God made peace through the blood of His cross. By Him to reconcile all things to Himself. Why don't people have peace? Because the only peace they can have is the peace of the cross. And they're looking for peace elsewhere. Where will you find it? In His life. You will find it in His life. And His life will come through the cross, and the cross will come through the Word. In Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Does the peace of God rule your heart? This is talking about a governmental action. In Hebrews 4:16, the government of God is the throne of grace. The throne of grace is what rules our hearts if the peace of God is ruling our hearts because we are one body with Him. We are one new man with Him. So if I'm one person with Christ, and I actually believe it, you see, you're never going to experience your position without faith. So if I am one new man, and through faith I believe it, I understand it, I will experience it. And then I will have peace of who I am, which is the peace of the cross. Please understand, you don't have a life apart from God. The unsaved don't have a life at all. They live biologically. So does a tree. They don't really have a life at all. I don't care how satisfied they are. An ant can be satisfied. They don't really have a life at all. In Luke 1:78, through the tender mercies of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give us light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. In John 16:13, He guides us in all truth. That is the way of peace. I can only have a relationship with the Holy Spirit through the cross. The Holy Spirit will be present, but He will be grieved if there is no cross in my heart. And if I continue that way, He will be quenched. In Romans 15:13, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. Why are people without peace? There's a tremendous amount of hope that comes in the life of God. If I recognize that I'm the body of Christ, then what can come against me? If I recognize that I'm the body of Christ, what situation is too hard? If I recognize that I'm the body of Christ, what person can intimidate me? If I recognize that I'm the body of Christ, what has value apart from Him? If I recognize that I'm the body of Christ, what contentment do I lack when I live the life of God? The only way to have those circumstances be present is to not recognize who I am. If I don't recognize who I am, I will not have hope. If I don't have hope, then I have fear, then I have anxiety, then I have insecurity, then I have wanting without receiving, then I have frustration, then I have a sense of great lack, where in truth, all things have been already given unto me. And a person like that will say, I don't believe all things are given unto me, because I don't have them, I don't get them. And the fault is not in the Word of God. Notice how people, when they fail to understand the Word of God, when they fail to experience the Word of God, they blame the Word of God. No, it's your failure, it's not the Word of God that failed. Simple humility that believes God, and you can start to experience who you are. That's where it is. If you want peace, it'll be the peace of the cross. In Daniel 10:19, O man greatly beloved, do not fear. Peace be with you. What is peace? It's the conviction and confidence that you have complete well-being, no matter what it is that's going on. O man greatly beloved, do not fear. Why don't I fear? Because I am a man who's greatly beloved, and the one who loves me is God. So peace to you. Be strong. You see, if I have no peace, I'll have no strength. Why? Because I have no joy, and the joy of the Lord is my strength in Nehemiah 8:10. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 and 23. Be strong. Yes, be strong. And when He had spoken to me, I was made strong. strong. How was I made strong? Peace. But when did that peace come? When He had spoken to me. The Word of God will produce the cross in my life by giving me His mind and His nature, which will push aside my mind and my nature. If I'm living in the natural man, the Word of God is not resident in my heart. If the Word of God is resident in my heart, it will have its effects. It has incredible power. You have the Word of God resident in your heart that produces a cross in your life, which is the doorway into the life of God. So that is to say, the Word of God will produce the life of God. The life of God will produce the peace of the cross. The peace of the cross will open your capacity for joy, and then you are strong for whatever you face. You don't fear, because there's nothing that you cannot overcome. You don't fear because all things are possible. You don't fear because greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. You don't fear because you've kept yourself in the love of God, and the Word of God is resident in you. And in John 15:7, you can therefore ask what you will, and it will be done for you. You will have the peace of the cross. It's that simple. All it takes is humility and trusting the Word of God. Amen?
If you don't know whether you're going to heaven when you die, and you would like to know, then ask Jesus to save you. Simply pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for my sin. I accept what you did on the cross for me. I accept your mercy. I accept your forgiveness. Come into my heart and live. Save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. Amen.